we're finishing up on our series. Can you tell me what the name of our series is that we're finishing? What's it called? The Power of the Bible. Good. You guys are just great. Great memories. You're retaining stuff. You're learning. And you're good readers. The Power of the Bible is right there. Okay, we're going to talk about building your house. This is the last in the series. And I want to just kind of like cap it off with this. You know, but we've been talking about the Bible all the time. But this is the last in our series message. So can you just bow your heads, agree with me in prayer today? Father, every time we meet, every time we greet each other, your presence is here. There's something so special about being in the gathering, in the house. And we're meeting with each other, we're meeting with you. And every time we come, we have something to offer in the way of just making others feel welcome and worshiping you, but we've got that to offer, but so much more we receive from you. I pray that today we receive faith, hope, love, grace today through this message. I pray that you speak directly into our hearts and our minds, that we'd understand this word, and you give us the power to put it into practice. So it gives blessing back to us, and it glorifies your name, and extends your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay. We're going to talk about building the house of God. And the last in this series, I said, we're talking about the Bible. I got to say this, I say it all the time. If there's any book I love, it's the Bible. And hopefully you feel the same way. I love the Bible. And I love the stories in the Bible, particularly the parables. It's called the parables of insights. The parables are fictional stories with real life meanings, principles that apply, that were taught way back then, that Jesus spoke, principles that still apply in this millennium, in our generation today. Isn't that incredible? God's word is so relevant to us. And so, here are the words of Jesus. And Jesus starts talking in Luke's gospel, in Luke chapter 6. Luke is one of the gospels in the New Testament. And Jesus says, I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. It is like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. When the flood waters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it is well built. Can you say with me? Well built. Well built. But a person who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house right on the ground without a foundation. When the floods sweep down against that house, it will collapse in a heap of ruins. Let's look at the message version of those scriptures. Jesus says, why are you so polite with me? Always saying, yes, sir, and that's right, sir, but never doing a thing I tell you. I like the message version because it kind of gets right to you and almost insults you, right? Tells you, like, what are you, you know, it's straightforward language. So, why are you so polite with me? Always saying, yes, sir, that's right, sir, but never doing a thing I tell you. These words I speak to you are not mere additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundation words to build a life on. If you work the words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who dug deep and laid the foundations of his house on bedrock. When the river burst its banks and crashed against that house, nothing could shake it, because it was built to last. Can you say it with me? Built to last. How many of you know you are built to last? You will never die, right? But if you use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you are like a dumb carpenter who built a house but skipped the foundations. When the swollen river came crashing in, it collapsed like a house of cards. It was a total loss. Okay, so this parable is known as the parable of the wise and foolish builders. I want to give you four key points. First thing that Jesus is saying to us, I believe, in this parable is this. Jesus is not talking about building a house. He's talking about building a life. Right? The house is an analogy. It's a visual image. Okay? It's a comparison. A visual image that helps bring truth to us. It's a metaphor that helps describe how to build a life on a good foundation. Let me tell you a story. This is a story of a wealthy man and lots of money decided he wanted to build a house for himself. So he has a friend who is a builder. And he asks this builder to build him an impressive house. Build me something that I'd be impressed with. And he says, you come up with a plan. You even come up with a plan. I want you to surprise me. And he said, I'll give you $300,000 to do it. Give you the parcel, the land, everything. $300,000. Well, the builder is excited because he really needs the work. He hasn't worked for a while. And he's so excited to build this house. He thinks, wow, $300,000. But then he gets to thinking, you know, if I just cut some corners, I could probably pocket some of the money for myself. And so, he goes and he buys the cheapest material. He buys cheap inferior concrete to pour into the foundation. He buys lumber that is bent and warped to build the frame. And he hires the cheapest labor that he can. He hires the cheapest tradesman that he can find. He finds the cheapest electrician, plumber. After all, it's all behind the walls anyway. No one's going to see it, right? Well, he completes the job. And after he completes it, he pockets for himself $40,000. The wealthy man comes to have a look at the house. And he looks at the house and he is impressed. Because it looks so great. See, on the surface of things, it looks so great. Right? It looks so good. It looks like the builder spared no expense. So then the wealthy man turns to the builder and says, you know what? I don't really need this house for myself. I wanted to do you a favor. I wanted to bless you. So here, you have now just built your own home. Imagine how that builder felt. Here's the question. Would he have built it differently if he had known he was building his own home? Reality is, each of us is building our own home, our own life, right now. And if you cut corners, if you compromise God's word in your life, then you're establishing either a good foundation or no foundation in your life. The question is, who's it hurting? You know what the answer is? No one more than you. See, Jesus is very clear in this parable. Jesus is saying that there's two ways that you can build a house. You can build it on no foundation. You can build it on the concepts, the principles based on what you believe. Or you can build it on a good foundation based on the concepts, principles, truths, promises of God's Word. Amen? You have a choice. It's either one or the other. You know, Jesus is very clear here. Jesus is saying it's very, very simple. It's not hard to understand. And that's what I love about the principles of Jesus. Because you don't have to scratch your head after you've read it and think, I wonder what he's trying to say here. It's very clear what Jesus is saying. Very simple. You know, I saw this comparison on Google, and I was looking at building lives and how different people build their lives, and there's a comparison right on Google search about two men. And one of the men, his name was Max Jukes. Good PowerPoint. Max Jukes was living in the late 1800s, early 1900s. Nobody really knows exactly when he was born, but he has quite a history behind him. He was raised in a very ungodly family. He came from a long line of criminals. He had close to 1,200 descendants, 300 of which went to prison and served an average term of 13 years. The Jukes family was notorious for being lawbreakers. 190 of their women became prostitutes. They say 430 of their descendants were diseased, and a lot of them just died of that disease. The Jukes family, they say, cost the state of New York well over $1,250,000 in hospitalization, in crimes, in services that they took advantage of, in asylums and mental institutions. That's the Jukes family. Let's compare another family, another guy. This guy, his name is Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards lived in the 1700s. Jonathan Edwards was raised in a godly family. He was a man that was committed to God. One thing about Jonathan Edwards, he always took his family, he always went to church regularly. You know what regularly is? Every single week. That's regularly. Jonathan Edwards' family and descendants had all kinds of different people, different family members in different professions. Like 440 of them became ministers, involved in ministry in some way. 65 of them were university professors. 13 of them were deans of university. 3 became senators. 30 became judges, and 1 even became vice president of the United States. The Edwards family, opposed to the Jukes family, were contributors to society. They contributed in the areas of manufacturing, of inventions, manufacturing, commerce, and the founding of hospitals and mental asylums, institutions, many of which the Jukes family took advantage of. Plus, they established missions and philanthropies of all sorts and all kinds. Two men. One had no foundation. The other had a good foundation. Right? And you see the evidence of their fruit, not just in their personal lives, but in the legacy that they passed on to generation after generation after them. Amen? Isn't that powerful? Here's the point I'm trying to make. What we build here, right now, on earth, can be passed down to the next generation. It can be passed down. If you're parents or your grandparents are believers in Christ and they've served and they're serving God, listen, you can build on that foundation, can't you? I want to ask you, how many of you are first generations in your family? First generation believers in Christ. There's quite a few. First to believe in Christ. I was the first to believe in Christ. I came from a very, very long generational line of Buddhists. Century after century were Buddhists until I came to Christ. God cut through that Buddhist generational line with the blood of Jesus Christ when he saved me. Amen? And he cut through that generation, and now I'm starting a new legacy. And I am determined to pass it on to the next generation. Amen? Sorry for yelling at you. I'm excited because I get a chance to make an impact right down to the generation. You see what those men, how they infected their generation? Wow, it just kept on going. That's the power we have today. Right? Right now, what we are building over here can be passed on to the next generation. The next point be your character, your foundation will impact generations. And generations will stand on what you build today. Amen? Your great, great, great grandkids are one day going to stand up and say, I am so, so glad my great, great grandpa or my great, great grandma or my great uncle, I'm so glad that they built a solid foundation and that they pass it on to me and to my family today. Amen? And you can be one of those. Whether you're the first generation or the 10th generation, you can pass it on. Amen? Your solid foundation can be passed on. Amen? So start working on it today. Amen? Start working on it today. Let's make it happen today in our lives. Here's the second thing that I believe Jesus is saying here in this parable. Number two, there's a big difference. Big difference between just hearing God's word and putting it into practice. Chapter 6, 47. Jesus said, as for everyone who comes to me and hears my words, he'd be blessed. He's building a fountain. No, he said, and what? Puts it into practice. We'll build a good foundation. James chapter 1, 22 says, don't fool yourself into thinking that you are a listener when you are anything but. Letting the word go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear. Those who hear and don't act are like those who glance in the mirror, walk away, and 2 minutes later have no idea who they are or what they look like. But whoever catches a glimpse of the revealed counsel of God, the free life, even out of the corner of his eye, and he sticks with it, is no distracted, scattered brain, but a man or woman of action. Of action. That person will find delight and affirmation in the action, in the hearing. You know, many people, and I know many people out there, talk about Christians. They say, many people look at Christians, they say, I just don't get it. I don't get it. They say they're Christians, and they say they go to church, but their lives are no different than anybody else's. Is that possible? Many people do that. So can I just suggest to you, just like the Word of God is suggesting, if you want to be great, if you want to be good at anything, whether you're a professional athlete or musician or whatever you're trying to do, if you want to be good at anything, if you want to be a good representative of Christ, then it takes practice. Right? It takes practice. At first, it feels uncomfortable. But you keep on doing it, then it becomes automatic, right? Here's a guy that's practices. Does anybody who know this is? Yeah, this is King James. They say LeBron James, right? Of the Cleveland Cavaliers, right? LeBron James, one of the most talented, gifted players ever to play the game in the NBA. Ever. I want to tell you, he can shoot. He can make the hoops. He can make the baskets, can't he? But you know what? Before he ever even got into the NBA, LeBron James shot thousands upon thousands upon thousands of baskets. You see, Even today, he's a professional. He's an expert. You know why? Because he keeps practicing and he never stops. The day he stops practicing is the day he's going to have to pack it in as a professional. You know, I want to compare that to us today. See, we are Christians saved by faith, right? We are saved by grace, right? Saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And when we receive Christ into our life, his grace is immediate. Automatically, we are made right with God. Do we agree with that? We are made right with God automatically. But there's a process that needs to take place inside of us that transforms us into the nature of Christ, so that what comes out of us is the expression of our faith. What comes out of us is the conduct of Christ, the way we act. Amen? So what we have to do in order to make that happen is to make a decision every single day to say to God, I'm going to do whatever I need to do to get right with you and to live in your ways. Amen? And yes, sometimes we're going to mess up. You're going to fall down. Right? But you're not going to stay down. You're going to get up again. You're going to dust yourself off. And you're going to keep on moving forward in your life with God. Why? Because you're laying a foundation, not just for yourself, but for your kids and grandkids and great-grandkids for generations. Amen? That's why you're doing it. You're living for God. You're not just living for yourself. You know, Jesus is making this so clear. It's not just hearing. It's the putting into practice of the principles of God in the Word of God. Amen? Number three. Here's the third thing that I think is really clear that Jesus is saying to us today. The storm floods of life will inevitably come into every human life. Are you going to live this life with no troubles, all peace, all good things? No, it's impossible, right? He said, when the flood waters rise and break against that house, when the floods sweep against that house, when the storm floods come, and they will come into every one of our lives. And that's why we need to live by faith and not by fear, right? Not by fear. So that no matter what you're going through, you get up, you stand up, you believe God's word. Right? You believe in the concepts, you believe in the principles, you believe in the truths, and you know and you understand the promises of God, right? That's what you need to do. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Living our lives in a manner consistent with our confident belief on God's promises, right? We have to establish a foundation. We've got to put some things into a foundation. So when troubles come into our life, it doesn't shatter us. It doesn't break us. It makes us turn away from God. We need things in our foundation that are absolutely crucial. Can I give you just four things? Do you want to know what I think those four things are? Number one, you need faith. You've got to have faith in your foundation. You've got to have a trust in God. And it's got to be real. And it can't be somebody else's faith. It can't be your mom and dad's or your family's. It's got to be yours, and it's got to be yours personally. You got to know Jesus, and you got to know his words, or you won't stand. You got to have faith, and you got to get deep into you. The words and promises of God, you got to get them deep into you, get as much as you can into you. You got to have a strong faith. Romans 10:17. Says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. You want to have faith? You want to have more faith? Then you've got to read God's Word. You've got to read it. You've got to write it out. You've got to declare it. You've got to meditate it on it and get it deep into your heart and your spirit. Amen? Second thing I believe you've got to put into your foundation is forgiveness. Forgiveness. You've got to be free. You've got to be free. You've got to free yourself. Free yourself from the gazelle, from the hand of the hunter, like a deer from the snare of the fowler. Unforgiveness entraps you. That's the very reason why Jesus came, for forgiveness, to forgive us of our sins. And what he did for us, we need to do for other people. Listen, somebody could deeply wound you. You can't make them forgive, ask you for forgiveness, but you can forgive them, right? See, forgiveness, unforgiveness are like cracks in the foundation. They started with just tiny cracks, but through those cracks can seep a lot of damage, and they'll affect your soul, right? Jesus is so clear, if you can't forgive someone from your heart, neither will I forgive you. But one of the biggest reasons why we need to forgive is so that we can lay a good foundation for a good life, right? Forgive. Number three, we need to build on that foundation, prayer. We need to start talking to God more. Prayer, just talking to God. Talking to God and say, God, speak back to me. Help me to hear your voice. I know a lot of people have said, I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to pray. I say, just start somewhere. Start talking to him like he's your friend because he's there. Although you can't always see him in person, he's there. And he's ready to listen. Well, I'm too much of a sinner. God won't hear me. He won't hear me. No, he loves you. He loves you. And he's here. He hears every word you pray. And he prays every time. He hears every time you pray, no matter how you pray. Right? God loves you. Just start doing it. And it'll start to become automatic. Start spending time with God in prayer. Amen? You gotta just put into practice before it feels comfortable. I think about my grandkids. Now they're like 4 and 5, or 4 and 6. But I remember them, and I remember my kids, my grandkids particularly, because they're still, just a few years ago. But I remember them just crawling around, and then I can see them seeing us walking around on 2 points on our feet, which is amazing to them because it takes all fours, right? And they're attempting the same thing that we're doing. When they try it, it's awkward. They stumble. Sometimes they hurt themselves. But they don't give up. They keep practicing. And then they're just flying around like, wow, right? It's the same thing for us. We need to put into practice talking to God. Make it natural. Make it just a part of your life. That's part of your foundation. It's just your communication with God. Amen? The fourth thing, one more thing I'm going to give you is church. If you want to survive the storms of life, then you need church. You need church. You need the fellowship of believers. You are not meant to do life alone. You are not. You need the family of God. You need to be at home with God, in the house of God. It's God's house. It's God's home. It's for your safety. It's for your protection. You need God's house. I said last week, we all need Sabbath rest, right? You need friends of faith to stand when the storms come into your life. Right, Sheldon? Sheldon and I were in the kitchen. And one of these I'm going to get you to share. And Miss Sheldon saying, this is what the family's all about. I don't like anything. I got people praying for me, people helping me in every way possible. He says, this is what the family of God is all about. He says, you can't do it without family. When the storms hit your life, you need friends of faith who will stand with you and support you and pray with you. Amen? You need Jesus. Everybody needs Jesus. But not only do you need Jesus, everybody needs a home to belong to, a church. That's just the way God meant it. He gave you Jesus, and he gave you his church, his family, his house. And you're supposed to be a strong, rooted, connected part of it. Amen? Point number 4, Jesus, last point I would give you this. Jesus is saying this, A well-built life, a well-built life will never be shaken. Luke 6:48. Jesus said, when a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it, because it was what? Well-built. Well-built. Built to last. Right? Stronger than the homes that Burton builds. Built to last, right? He builds good homes. Listen. Listen. The storms are going to come in your life. The rains are going to fall. The flood waters are going to rise. And some of them might even seem like a tsunami. A tsunami storm. It's going to be so huge. It's going to overwhelm you unless you have a good foundation. And a house that is well built will be unshakable. Amen? When you build your life on a good foundation, you will be unshakable. Because nothing is impossible for God. Amen? Amen? Nothing is impossible for God. We are unshakable. You know, sometimes we pray. And we're looking for a miracle. We're looking for an answer. And we don't always get the answer or the miracle that we want in the way that we want, do we? Sometimes we don't. But I want to tell you, that does not mean that the Bible's not true, and it doesn't mean that God loves you less, right? Understand that God is sovereign, and God is good. He's good. He's really, really good. And it may not always be the way, the outcome we're expecting. But God is sovereign. I heard this before. Nothing happens to us except what first passes through God's hands. Aren't you glad about that? God will only allow what He allows to come to us in that sense. I believe that. Right? So, maybe, you know, and this, I heard a report on the news that one out of two people are going to contract cancer in their lifetime. Did you hear that report? Astounding reports. I think, wow, we need to live healthier, you know, trust God more, live with less stress. But more than anything, we need to establish a good foundation, right? You know, and maybe that report, maybe that doctor's report says what you didn't want it to say. It's not what you wanted to hear. But that's the time. You stand up, you believe, and you declare, by His stripes, I am healed. Amen? That's the time we do that. We declare the goodness of God, because nothing is impossible with God. I will not be shaken. Bottom line of this whole parable just boils down to just one simple point, really. You know what it is? Three words. Trust in God's, trust God's word, right? Trust God's word. Trust the Bible. Trust the Bible. Believe God's word. You know, don't base your beliefs on what other people say. Base your beliefs, no matter who it is, whether it's your mom, or it's your dad, or it's your uncle, or it's your teacher, or your university professor, or what your friends say, or what the media says. Let God's word shape your life. Amen? I mean, those people could be saying some good things, but you got to know what God's word says to you, and you got to have it deep in your heart. Amen? Trust God's word. Believe God's word. We said the Bible is powerful. The Bible is powerful. It's living, it's breathing, and it's alive. And it makes a huge impact in your life. But it has no difference, no impact in your life until you read it, until you meditate on it, until you practice it. Amen? And then you will build a solid foundation. Build a solid foundation. Build it to last. build it for the generations to come. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence here today. I believe you really challenged everyone here. You challenged me. How powerful is your word? Father, I love your words. I love the word of God. May each of us develop an incredible, deep love, awe, respect for your word. May we daily hunger for it like we hunger for food. When we partake of it, let it literally feel our strength, our faith being strengthened. Fears disappearing because we're trusting in you. We're getting to know you. We're getting to know your purpose for our life. We're understanding the principles. So, Lord, put a passion in us. Give us desire that leads to discipline, and let that discipline lead to delight. Just like the psalmist said, I delight in God's word. May we all have the same profession. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Just as we're here today, as you have our heads bowed, I want to say maybe you're here today and you've never invited Jesus, the living Christ, into your heart. If you've never done that before, I want to tell you that Jesus wants to give you something new and something fresh. The Bible says that when Jesus came, he came to give you life, and that abundantly. And that abundance of life starts immediately and so simply just by inviting Christ into your heart. And if you've never made that decision, I want to tell you, you have not yet made the greatest decision of your life, and that's to receive Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you're in your heart, you're saying, I'm ready. I need Jesus. I'm going to lead you in a very simple prayer. But I promise you, this prayer will be the most life-changing prayer that you will ever say. Are you ready for this? In fact, let's all say this together. Are we ready? Let's say this out loud. Repeat after me. Father in heaven, I'm giving you my life. Please come into my heart. Thank you for dying for me on the cross, paying the price for my sins. Today and onward, Jesus Christ will be my Lord and Savior forever. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I want to just ask you, anyone here, if you said that prayer for the very first time, can you just raise your hand and just hold it up really high? Just wave it. You said that prayer? Thank you. Any other hands? Raise your hand. I said that prayer. I invited Christ into my heart. Thank you, Jesus. I see that little hand there, but it's the reason that her mom. Okay. If you've never made that decision, make that decision. Amen. Amen. We're going to finish.